Verse 22. Proverbs 11:22, sorry. It says here, as a jewel of gold in a pig's or a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Get the visual. Get the visual. You got to get the visual. A pig decorated is what a woman is who is beautiful but has no discretion. Get the visual. I love the Proverbs because, you know, you kind of, man, that's a sight. And it's very important to catch that and to really kind of meditate on that and to realize, you know what, if I'm overemphasizing what I am and my physical attributes and I'm not giving attentiveness to my internal spirit and being subdued in the presence of the Lord and realizing that that's what he prizes, it's like a pig all decorated. We talk. Okay.
Back to 1 Peter. Okay. Is that right? Or do you have something else?
Okay.
I was just thinking more in 1 Peter, chapter 3. First, to just point out something that probably some translations make it obvious, but where it says in verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, the King James says, the hidden man of the heart. And I want to just acknowledge the fact that this is not a chauvinistic phrase, oh, look, the women should be like men inside. It's really just a general word for person, right? The hidden person of the heart. So that if you had an unpleasant thought, and when you read that is the hidden man of the heart, it's the hidden person of the heart. And we might all realize that, but maybe it's good to acknowledge it. And I was wondering if it's okay, if it won't take us too far away, if maybe there are some additional illustrations that we could think of just for a few moments on what this looks like to be a person like this. How can we find some examples in the scriptures of those who displayed this type of godly demeanor, who were displaying this gentle, meek, quiet spirit, and yet displayed the fact that they were godly, they were determined, they had things to say, things to indicate about the way to live for God that even others could take note of. Maybe if it's okay just to find illustrations that sometimes help us to understand the principles. I have one to suggest. And maybe there are others in 1 Samuel. Chapter 25. Yes, 1 Samuel chapter 25. And it's the example of Abigail. The entire chapter really is the story. But if we would remember that David was prepared to attack Abigail's rich, ungodly husband, and David's anger really got the best of him in that on that occasion. And in verse 21, 1 Samuel 25, verse 21, David says, "Surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him. He has repaid me evil for good." And so he intends to go and bring his men against the household of Nabal. But earlier, when Abigail heard of what David intended to do, she made haste in verse 18 and prepared a great amount of food to provide as a gift for David and his men. And when David received this, first of all, Abigail reaches David in verse 23. And she says, for example, in verse 25, "Let not my lord regard this scoundrel Nabal. I, your maidservant," at the end of the verse, "did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now, therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek harm from my lord be as Nabal. Now this present which your maidservant has brought to my lord, let it be given to the young men," and so on. And to see then that David, he gets the point in verse 32. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand." Abigail takes a very low place before David, but she's very direct in what she wants to say to him, and he accepts what she has said and realizes that she has kept him on a godly path, even though in her mannerisms and her deportment, her behavior, she was very appropriate and yet still very God-honoring and direct. Maybe there are others to just help us illustrate and understand what it means to be a woman like this.
What I find so impressive about the story here of Abigail is two things. One, just the courage that she shows in even approaching David in this way. I mean, one could argue that, you know, she had heard that David was very angry and that he was going to come down and slay the whole camp. One could have argued that, you know, if she went to him, you know, she might be the first one on the chopping block. But she had the courage enough to say, you know, I'm going to go out and try to bring a peaceable solution to this negative situation. So I think she displays courage, but she also exhibits wisdom in being able to come to David in such a humble fashion. You know, she could have come out and yelled at him or insulted him or said, you know, why are you going to do what you're about to do? But instead, she both showed courage and as well as wisdom. And I think one of the questions that I had, and which is almost the other side of the coin of what you were bringing out, Brother Steve, was around what's the counterfeit to what the ideal woman is. We talked a bit about that yesterday in terms of from the men's perspective, but it would also be helpful for us if we explore what the counterfeit is. But I think what we see here in Abigail is she isn't a doormat, which is probably one of the ends of the spectrum from a counterfeit perspective. She was courageous. She helped save David from himself. And that's why you see at the end, that's why he valued her so much, because, you know, we all need help. And, you know, the Lord had, you know, said, you know, made the woman because man needed help. And so, you know, see, David here had a moment of weakness, where, you know, he was about to commit a great sin, and she had the wisdom and the courage to save him from himself.
I have a question from a sister, if I may. Abigail was God-honoring. However, she disobeys her husband, which is supposed to be the female role that honors God. How can we read this? And if we are meant to be submissive, when is it ever wise to be an Abigail?
Yesterday, I'll try to take a quick crack at that, is yesterday we talked about, for young men, what it means to be under authority. And we cited 1 Corinthians chapter 11. One of the things that's interesting in that passage is that God's order is hierarchical. It starts with him, it's the Lord Jesus, it's man, it's woman. And so the answer to the question has to do with whose authority. Whose authority is at stake here? So if a woman is in a relationship with a Nabal, and his name means fool, her subjection to him is only in line with his obedience to his head. If he is given direction that contradicts his head, she must act and seek to achieve and to live peaceably as possible. But if it's a direct offense to what God is saying and directing to do, she must obey the higher authority.